Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to this session. My name is Zhang Qi. I'm a software engineer from Microsoft, and I am in the electrical and function department. We primarily do electrical optimization, power optimization, and we're very aware of how oftentimes problems don't just come from the end users, but also from developers and our partners. We all know that one realistic scenario is that users use devices in very different ways and have very different battery needs. And so how do we design our hardware and software to meet those diverse needs? Generally, we try and answer these questions in response to a particular device. We try and look at its firmware, its function, and try and ascertain what kind of battery needs it might have. But in this methodology, this can often give us a very clear sense of battery needs, but it also has drawbacks because different users pack different bits of software onto their devices, and therefore it's very different to design for diverse user scenarios. And it's also difficult to scale. It really requires you to have a very specified, very refined testing environment and user sampling methodology. And so it's again, it offers a challenge. So in Windows 10, we're trying to find another way of using real data to ascertain battery needs. And that's why we developed a new tool. It's called the Energy Estimation Engine. Just by looking at this name, you can tell what it does. It assesses how different users use hardware and software and what kind of energy consumption that usage will lead to. And those tests aren't conducted only through on-site device use, but also through telemetric measuring. And it sends back feedback from actual users on the power demands and therefore battery demands that device makers should be designing for. So this energy estimation engine, EEE, we'll be talking a little bit about how it works and what kind of data it can produce, and most importantly, we'll be speaking about what we hope to see in terms of partnership between you, our hardware and software partners. What kind of collaboration can increase the precision of our energy estimation and battery needs expectations. So, what are we trying to accomplish with this EEE? Its goal is to bring together all available resources to provide a better battery life across the Windows ecosystem. And if we know what every application, what every device, what their energy consumption is like, and then we can apply certain energy-saving methods, we can make a more power-efficient user experience. And you as users can use these tools, the end users can also have access to this data and make decisions on their device to save batteries based on their needs. So, for example, they could prevent certain applications from running in the background, and they can have a better sense of which devices and which softwares are using the most batteries. And developers can also take a look at what parts of their code are leading to greater battery expense and make optimization and resource allocation decisions based on that information. Also, what kind of peripherals and what kind of settings, what kind of pre-installations will lead to the most optimal battery usage. For example, a lot of systems, they pre-install a lot of software, and if this EEE tells us that a certain software is reducing the energy efficiency or the battery efficiency of this device, you can decide whether or not you actually want to pre-install it, or you can make a trade-off or set priorities based on function and battery. Now, a lot of the data that we collect is collated into reports that we keep on the cloud and which can be shared with our partners. And so together, as partners in this enterprise, we can work together to make batteries more efficient in Windows devices. So I very much hope that we can work together as partners and considering that this is a energy estimation standard, it's very important to ensure the accuracy of this information. We need to make sure that the estimates that we're making are based on accurate, authentic data. That's why this engine is not just a function for the Windows, but also for device makers. And again, we very much hope that everyone can benefit from using this engine. So, how do we make this estimate more accurate and efficient? There is a power control chip that reads power usage. That would be ideal because it is not an estimation but an actual measurement. It would physically measure the amount of power being used, but that's not very practical because we don't want to put this kind of measurement device in every single piece of hardware. So rather than that, we can create a set of parameters that measure work output, power output under certain conditions, and then create a virtual model that helps us estimate the real power outage across devices. But again, on a single device or a single platform, it's very difficult to find a single power output number. Here's an example. The first parameter here is the SSD model. They are largely similar in terms of size and capacity, but they have very different power usages. They up to 800 megawatts, milliwatts.
On the other side, they have the same in terms of when you look at the monitor, they're about the same size, resolution, but different power consumption. If we use one model as a reference to estimate the other model's energy consumption, then you're going to see a large margin of error. So we really want every model to have its own specific parameters. so that the software will do a better job accurately gauging the energy consumption level. That's why we advise our partners to give us hardware monitoring function or providing us with accurate power estimation files on different modules. And you might suspect this is a lot of work. In our HLK tool, we will input these the files you provide for us in those data banks so that tests can be run and make your life easier. How does energy estimation engine work? It's embedded into the Windows 10 system. All devices using electricity will support the engine. Currently, we have energy estimator on CPU, GPU, monitor, and storage. All the other devices that doesn't yet have its specific engine is in the others category. Every engine is different, be it if it's located at different parts. We hope that suppliers would provide us with the modules, give us their accurate estimation so that we will use their numbers to do estimation. And this estimation engine needs input, as we mentioned before. Its input could be from the monitoring of the hardware. It could also work with the resource utilization data every application has. So that means every application is taking up specific resources. So now that with everything together, we would be able to calculate the breakout details of hardware energy consumption, software energy consumption, and the total energy consumption. This number can be provided to our users, developers, and partners. On the one side, we have input. On the other side, we have output. How do we work together to obtain the input, and how do we share the outputs with everyone? So that brings us to the flow. For chip providers, in the design and development phase, we want you to consider how to create an energy consumption model. As of now, we've had different degrees of collaboration with chip providers. Some of the collaboration have yielded excellent results. We obtained their estimation of energy consumption via MSR or other APIs. We are able to read the energy consumption directly produced by chip providers. All we do is to observe how hardware performs, how much hardwares are consuming, and the energy will be distributed accordingly to hardware. And why do we start from the chip level? Because through Windows operating system, we are not able to read accurate details of how much hardware is using, even though CPU utilization might be the same. But the energy consumption level of different chips are very different. It depends on the specificity of the chip itself. Even the temperature could play a role. And these information can only be obtained from the chip providers, because a lot of the information is not shared. So obtaining the energy estimation module from the chip providers make the whole estimation much more accurately. For IHVs, in designing new device and developing new device, they need to factor in the state of power and how much energy consumption is at each stage. If you can measure it yourself with equipment, that's fine. And the next step, if you have all the energy consumption level, then you are able to come up with more accurate parameters via a benchmark program. And currently, our benchmark program only supports the estimation of power on network and on monitor. Energy estimation engine starts from the platform of Windows 10. Starting from Windows 10 on, we'll add more and optimize upon the existing engine. And we hope this is going to be a journey of long-term collaboration. More data will be provided to us by our providers. And we hope these data will guide us in our future development. For OEM, if your UM is already finished and you know each component can be used, then you should talk to hardware providers to see if they have operated upon the micro benchmark. All the parameters will be inputted into the mirror, which will then be loaded to Windows device. So when users are using your device, they are able to see the most accurate energy estimation on their device. In Windows and application development phase, we are able to obtain energy estimation readings via different APIs and use these readings for development purpose. In internal testing and on retail products, when users are actually using their device, the energy distribution will be recorded on local data bank on the device and will be periodically uploaded to the cloud service. Reports will be generated and block out the private details of specific users, and these deprivatized report will then be shared with our partners. So I just covered the input and output of the energy estimation engine. Now let me do a demo. As the load changes, we'll see how the energy distribution changes. We're using the Perfmon tool. It's a graphic tool that shows the energy estimation results. It will be used in different scenarios, i.e. in gaming, full screen video performing, browsing, and animation. Since we have the API, if you want to design your own graphic exhibition tools, you're able to use our data from this engine directly. First of all, let's look at a game. This is a testing system. It's hooked to a monitor. On the left side, you're able to see the power consumption. you're also able to observe the application's power consumption. You're able to see the power consumption of disk, network, etc. This is a game that's run locally. So CPU is consuming a lot, but disk is not consuming a lot, and display is consuming power steadily. Now this is full screen display of videos. There are a lot of optimization going on, so you see CPU is not working very hard, and the energy consumption level in general is relatively low. It visits the disk from time to time. This is the energy consumption of IE browser, internet browser. When you launch it, there are two lines going on. So you see two pillars. The two bars are doing separate, different work simultaneously. As we visit the internet, we see that a CPU changes when you load a page. There's a bit of visiting the internet. The display is working steadily. Because at this point, the display is being used. Now, animation scenario, when there's a little bit of snowflakes, that's how hard the CPU is working. The more snowflakes that you create, the more CPU consumes power. It doesn't use internet, it doesn't need to visit disk, so there's none going on, and the display is working steadily. When you add a maximum amount of snowflakes, you see CPU has reached its maximum level as well. So by using this graphic tool, you're able to observe very clearly how energy is distributed onto different hardware. Now let's cover battery saver, which is also an embedded function in the Windows system. What this does is that it provides a view for the users. Where is battery used? And if you need, you can limit some of the activities to restrict the power consumption. And it gives you a projection of how much time you have left in battery life. You can also switch on or off your battery saver function. Users can choose to set the battery saving yourself. For instance, if your battery is lower than 30%, then the battery saver will switch on itself automatically to save energy. You can also choose what applications can still run even with battery saver switched on. But if you don't want these to be running when your battery saver is switched on, you can take the specific applications listed here. You can also look at how battery is being used at this moment or a week ago. It shows you a weekly view of battery utilization. How much battery is used on the front end, how much is used on the background, and what application has used up what percentage of power. Having obtained this information, users will get a picture of where battery is used. You can also click on the application to see within a specific application how the battery is used. Is it front ground, foreground, or background? What type of usage? And you can choose what scenarios these application can be run. So users will know where exactly is battery used on. This knowledge will help users to decide what application to run on or not, instead of bugging us and complaining that the battery is not efficient. Now,
so energy testing is really what we're trying to use this data for. All of the data that we develop, all of the data from these estimates are entered into a telemetric database. And it is categorized by different device statuses. For example, is it on or off? Is it running certain applications? And you can break it down by different component functions, different application run states, and what devices are attached or what peripherals are attached, what configurations are in place, how the provisioning is set. So we have this kind of a report that is compiled, an analytics report of the data usage. And we can see how different devices use different amounts of energy. And these are real, actual user statistics. They're not estimates. And then we have reports on which devices and what software are using how much power. And we can dive a little deeper to see which of the power-saving functions that we have are effective. So for example, we have the battery saver function, and we can see whether on different versions it has a different impact on actual battery life. This data can help us determine whether or not battery saver is actually helping users conserve power. And this data mining can be used to help improve devices from one version to the next, or in if not devices, then applications. Different versions can use the data culled from these mining exercises to make better power saving, to add power saving features. So we're also very much looking forward to hearing feedback from all of you, the developers and hardware and device manufacturers, on what kind of information would be helpful in informing your decisions throughout the design process. So on January 19th of this year, we had over 30,000 devices offering power usage feedback, real actual feedback. And we were curious, what were all of these users using their power on? What applications were they running? And we saw that a large portion of it was on browsers. So we had this kind of a report. We saw the power rate and a tier, a corresponding tier. Because the power output was higher, it puts it in a higher tier. So we can see here that browser ranks high. It's a big, there's a lot of wattage being spent on the browser. And so we went to the developer there and said, well, what can we do to reduce the power output from browser usage? Over here, we also see the browser taking up, browser number one is ranks highest in terms of wattage output. And again, we can use this information to consult with our developer partners and find ways of controlling that outage. So I've been talking about wanting to build partnerships with hardware and software providers to ensure the accuracy of this data. And we have a default parameter in our system. And we use this default parameter when users are using test devices that measure power outage. The margin of error on these readings is only 20% within this parameter. But if they're using it on different systems, of course, the margin of error could be much larger. So we hope that when we're using other systems, our partners can provide custom parameters that can help maintain the accuracy and precision of our power readings. If you don't want to use the applications or the parameters that we've provided, you may find that using custom parameters leads to more effective testing. You can see all of the binaries and tests in our hardware lab kit, HLK. The system will show battery life and capacity and usage. All you have to do is enter this TE command, and you'll see a group test that has different loads. And it'll use linear regression and other algorithms to determine how much wattage use there is under different conditions in different states. So this is a rather stable process. It can reduce the white noise in the process and lead to a higher accuracy of measurement. Now there's a register table within that can be used for the deployment of these custom parameters. And this method is something that we encourage during testing and debugging people can use. If you're interested, you can use in any Windows system. You can open up this root and use this as a reference. In any case, the Windows XML registry is available. And this can be used to set parameter ranges. And then the image will be flashed onto the device. Now, how is this document developed? We have an interface and model documents that can be used to configure your own XMLs to customize parameters for this testing. Now, if you're really interested in learning how a Windows system's database, how it's stored, and what it looks like, we've provided a tool called Strumutil. This is based on the, it can be downloaded from HLK. And by using Strumutil, you can access our database into a CSV file or an XML file, and it shows you an example and it'll show, say, all of the data from this 7,200 seconds. On the far left, this shows all the applications that are running. You'll see many of them are written as paths. Some of them are use the full root. Then they show the user ID, the timestamp, and then they'll show certain states in a true or false model. It'll show whether this is a measurement or an estimate. It'll show whether it's AC or DC power mode. Foreground shows whether it's running in the front or the back end. Screenshot will show whether it's being shown. Screen on and batteries is self-explanatory. And then it shows the energy readings. These energy readings are measured in microjoules. And you can use it to determine how much power is consumed in a minute or in 3 days. Now in WPA, we also have an ETW event that allows for the provision of this data in WPA. You can, this is very similar a data structure. You can see all of the different functions, the timestamps, all the rest is the same as the slide that we saw previously. But where Strumutil shows the entire database, this ETW shows a snapshot of energy uses within a specific time range. It doesn't show any data from prior to the specified time range. All of these tools are things that we'll discuss in the afternoon. You'll get the opportunity at 3 o'clock and 5:20. We'll have two labs. You'll have the opportunity to see these tools, including HLK, in action.
Now the next topic is hardware power monitoring. If the system can provide direct monitoring of hardware, then we don't need to use software modules to estimate energy consumption. It gives a very low margin of error, about 2%, since it doesn't run software module code. It also reduces energy consumption, but it has extra BOM cost. So there's a bit of give and take here you have to think about. Currently, we have a Maxim energy accumulation chip that can be used. It's already loaded onto some systems out there. This monitoring chip provides energy consumption records of 4 power sources. So it's not recording a lot of power consumption at the same time. When you switch on the monitor, it's sampling quite often, so it gives an accurate number, but when you're switching it off, it's sampling less frequently. And when the machine is idling, it only has 8 hertz of sampling rate. And if you're interested in Maxim chip, we have the website here and the sales contact. You can contact them directly. Since it only tracks 4 tracks of power at the same time, from high to low, we listed what components we are interested in tracking in priority numbers. We might be interested in the overall system power consumption, CPU, SoC, kernel, Wi-Fi, and broadband, because these are components that's very difficult to estimate via software. So if we use hardware to monitor them directly, it might be more accurately. But these are really based on our experience. You can prioritize this list based on your needs and to decide which 4 tracks you want to track. Finally, what type of feedbacks are we looking for? And what type of collaboration is helpful to us? How can you help us provide better energy estimation? For chip providers, we hope to obtain energy estimation models on CPU and GPU. For IDH or IDH, we hope you can familiarize yourself with the micro benchmark software and use it to generate test results. Towards all partners, we hope you can provide us with your feedback. From big data, what questions do you want to be answered? What questions we're not able to answer so far? How can we improve upon that? For OEM, ODM, IDH, we hope, if possible, that you can embed these power monitoring chips onto your devices so that the energy estimation can be more accurate. And in your actual production phase, you don't need a power consumption monitoring mechanism. You can use the hardware directly to monitor consumption. For IHV, we need to obtain energy parameter from them. If you recustomize some of the components, then you might need to run and rerun micro benchmark softwares or modify the parameters. Having obtained all the information, then we will generate an image, a mirror. And load the mirror onto the system. We can provide documents and assistance in that regard in the future if modifications were made on a system that users are already using. And if you realize that you have a new set of parameter, you can give users your own update and doesn't necessarily need to give that update to Windows update so that OEMs have higher flexibility. Finally, we have 2 test labs here, and it will show you how to operate the test environment this afternoon at 3:00 and 5:20 separately. We will conduct the above mentioned activities and welcome to our test. And finally, this is the access for our feedback forums. And anyone has any questions? And if you also, you can also contact me when I'm finished in this room. Thank you.